J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Leading off the game for the Brewers, number 16, second baseman, Colton Wong.
Hi, gang, it's JC, and this is not going to be a baseball or sports-related podcast. I mean, we'll do our sports from time to time when it's appropriate, but yesterday, of course, was opening day, and what an opening day it was.
They want to get loud here, Dan. They want to get loud. Everybody's going to come out. A lot of people have found a little shelter from the rain. They want to come out and cheer. Now's their time.
Arenado came up with a runner at third, one out in the first, popped out to third, struck out in the fourth, grounded back to Yardley to start the seventh inning. We are in the eighth. Arenado, a drive, deep left, at the wall! Welcome to St. Louis, Nolan! An opening day home run, Nolan Arenado!
And of course, that's the big headline grabber from yesterday's home opener, but I don't know if you saw this or not. I posted it on my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. TMZ picked up the Colton Wong introduction that you just heard a moment ago. And they were like, the guy's standing there in tears. He's crying. And I put it on my Facebook page because I haven't watched baseball in a long time, and I can't ever remember a guy standing at home plate with a bat in his hand crying. And I saw him distinctly pick his shirt sleeve up and pat it on the area right below his eyes to try to soak up the tears, because that dude was up there crying. It was unbelievable. And I don't think you're going to see Colton Wong say anything bad about the fans in St. Louis anytime soon. Let's just leave it at that. And the Milwaukee starter, by the way, Corbin Burnes, looked like Cy Young out there yesterday afternoon. I didn't think they were going to get to him at all, and they didn't. And then, of course, you know, he goes his, what, Adam Wainwright, they got five innings out of him. So all that went well. By the way, did you hear Dan McLaughlin over-pronouncing Arenado? A lot of people are saying Arenado, and he sort of made it a point that the correct pronunciation is Arenado, which I find hilarious, given the fact that for 20 years he's been mispronouncing the name Rick Ankiel. He says Rick Ankiel, and there's no accent on the second syllable. And some people will think that this is petty, but it's not. You know, after years and years of Mike Shannon mispronouncing words and names and players' names and stuff like that, it's like, oh, come on. Come on. It's Rick Ankiel. All right, accent on the first syllable. And I've talked to Dan about this, and he goes, yeah, Ankiel. I'm like, no, it's Ankiel. He can't hear the difference. And I love Dan. He's a great guy and everything, but he just can't hear the difference between Ankiel, the way he says it, and the correct pronunciation, which is Ankiel. But you know what? In the grand scheme of things, who cares? We want our home. It really should be some sort of law that every team gets to win its home opener, because otherwise, come on, what are we doing all this for? All right, back to the business at hand. Thank you very much for checking in with us here at jcontheline.com from our undisclosed location. The new podcast launched yesterday. Here we are today. You got your bonus extra half hour yesterday because it's the baseball home opener. We gave you an hour. So what's going to happen here, as I explained in the promotion of this whole thing, we'll be here every morning at 7 a.m. You can download this thing. You can listen live. You can listen later on in the day. It doesn't matter. It'll be here all day, but we post it at 7 o'clock in the morning St. Louis time every single day, and it's going to be what I do. And what I've been doing on radio for the last, 37 years. We tried the podcast a couple of times. I was explaining this to Smash yesterday. Smash has a radio show up in Alton every day, and so I appeared on his show yesterday afternoon to sort of plug the whole thing. That was his invite. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much, Brother Mansky. And here's what happened the last two times we tried the podcast, because this is the third attempt at this thing, and I think this one's going to be fine, and for reasons that will be obvious here in just a couple of seconds. So the first two times we attempted the podcast, you know, the whole podcasting thing was very, very new, you know, so everybody was still trying to figure out the rules. How do you do this? How do you make it work? And we were told, and I say a lot of broadcasters were, you know, venturing into the podcast world. And they're like, okay, what you do is you charge like $10 or $5 a month, And so we said, well, let's charge $4.99. Okay, so we'll do $4.99. And when you break that down to 20 shows a month, it's something like 50 cents a day. And I'm figuring, well, you probably find 50 cents a day in your couch cushions. That's not going to break anybody. So that's a good price point. And it's enough for us to cover the cost of operating and put a little change in my pocket. Sure, $4.99, here we go. And somebody said, why don't you do this? Why don't you offer everybody 2 free weeks of the podcast before you start charging, so people can sort of decide, is this worth my money? And I always thought, oh, if they listen for 2 weeks, they'll definitely sign on. This is a really, really good thing we're putting out every day. All right. So what happened was, we're like, how come we're not making any money? We're supposed to be making money. We have all these people. And that's one of the nice things about podcasts. You go to your diagnostics. Radio ratings, it's just somebody's crazy idea as to how many people are listening. And one of these days, I'll cover that with you too. And you'll just shake your head walking away going, that's how you guys do this? It's crazy. But in podcasting, anything involving the internet, you get your diagnostics. It's like anything else. You get the exact number of people who download your show every day. You can go to advertisers and say, look, here's the thousands of people that we have listening every single day. It's not like some audience estimate that comes out for radio stations, and that's all it is. Good or bad, that's all it is. It's an estimate. But in internet broadcasting, podcasting, you get the exact number of people who downloaded your show every single day. So again, keep in mind now, I laugh, but it's not funny, especially to me, because it costs me money. So all you put in your email address, okay, and you'd get your 2 free weeks. And what people were doing was they'd get their 2 free weeks and then enter a different email address and get another 2 free weeks and enter another different email address and get another 2 free weeks. And so it was my own listeners who were robbing me blind. So that's when we shut it down. We're like, okay, this isn't going to work this way. We can't make any money this way. And frankly, I don't want people thinking that they can just take me the way they're taking me here. So we shut it down. We tried it again, blah, blah, blah. Here we are. So this time we're going to have advertiser supported podcasts. So it's not going to cost you anything. And I really think this is the way to go. This is the new world. But it's like anything else that is new, you have to sort of figure out, okay, how is this going to work? How are we going to make this work? But I think we have a lot better idea. The whole podcasting industry, if you will, has grown in leaps and bounds in the last 2 or 3 years. And so it's off to the races. And now, you know, things have really, as you know, I don't have to tell you this, they've radically changed. People are downloading and listening to podcasts like crazy now. So the podcasting world has really, really changed. For years, people in the radio industry and people who were moving on to doing podcasts were saying things like, well, you know, digital is the future. Well, it's not the future anymore. It's the present. It's going on right now. Okay. The podcasting world has taken a 70% chunk out of national advertising dollars. 17% in 1 year. That's a lot. That's a real lot. So people are catching on that a lot of the really, really good stuff is on the internet, part of the podcasting world. And when you stop to think about it, and again, I have a lot of friends who are still doing radio on over-the-air radio stations. And you know what happens? I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to tell you anything. I don't want to get them in trouble, but all of them, I mean, almost all of them say, you know what's happened in the last couple of years? They've extended our hours. Maybe I was on the air for 3 hours. Now I'm on the air for 6 hours a day, you know, stuff like that. I'm getting paid less money. Everybody had to take pay cuts because before the COVID thing hit, and the COVID thing knocked out, in some cases, like 40% of ad revenue for radio stations. But before that even happened, radio was in a lot of trouble. And again, you know, listen to it. Listen to radio. Don't even start me on AM radio. Let's just talk about FM. All of the program directors who run the local radio stations are under immense pressure to make sure that they just get song after song after song after song after song. Don't let your DJs talk more than like 20 seconds at a time. I don't know anybody who can make a point in 20 seconds. It makes no sense to me, but that's what they're saying. It's like, don't talk longer than 20 seconds. Just song after song after song. I had one program director tell me that they had gotten 13 songs an hour, but they figured out a way how to get a 14th song in. And the people that program director answers to on a corporate level, they practically had a tag day for him because it was so exciting for them. You got 14 songs in the hour instead of 13 or 12. We're going to give you a gold medal. I mean, this is the way these guys think now. This is how they think. And again, people are like, well, you know, you've got Spotify, you had iTunes for a long time. You got all these streaming services. Boy, that must really be a problem for radio. And it's like, well, it doesn't help. But to be honest, radio's problems have been self-inflicted. And again, this is my personal opinion. A lot of people agree with it. Some people don't. But when radio went wrong is when they got rid of the big, larger-than-life local DJ. You know, that guy who might, do some crazy stuff, but he'll tell you about cool stuff. He'll give you his opinions. He'll tell you something weird that happened backstage at a concert he was at, or she for that matter, or just, you know, interesting little tidbits. They have a reference point. You know, if they're going to play a Van Halen song, they'll say, hey, were you at that concert at the old barn, the arena in 1986, when they did two back-to-back nights of Van Halen? You don't have any of that anymore. You know why? Because the people who are on FM music radio now weren't old enough to remember that stuff. And I'm not disparaging them, making fun of them or anything like that. I'm just telling you that this is one of the big problems with radio. Nobody who knows how to do it is around anymore. They've all been chased out of the radio business. And so you're left with radio stations that just sound lifeless. And more, you go to the internet, you go to these podcasts, and all this interesting stuff is happening. And that's what we plan to do for you here. Let me get all the rest of the sports out of the way. We were talking about baseball a minute ago. This Colton Wong thing, I got to tell you an interesting story. So this is a couple of years back, and keep in mind, as you heard yesterday in the home opener show, we played back the whole David Freese thing from Game 6 of the World Series in 2011, and David Freese, you know, could have been elected governor after all of that, all right? So now David Freese is playing third base for the Cardinals like he always did. And I'm in Chicago for the Cubs-Cardinal weekend a handful of years back, and I was standing right in front of the Cardinals dugout at Wrigley Field when I heard that this guy Colton Wong had just been signed by the Cardinals. And I remember thinking to myself, he's a second baseman. Wait a minute. They're going to get rid of David Freese because they got Carpenter. He's going to play third base. They're going to put Colton Wong at second, and the odd man out in this whole thing is David Freese. And I remember mentioning that to a couple of the Cubs broadcasters and media people. They're like, what? What are you talking about? Well, the Cardinals are going to get rid of David Freese? You're an idiot. You're nuts. And about, I don't know, it was maybe 3-4 weeks later, bye-bye David Freese. So today sort of represented the culmination of the whole Colton Wong story, as far as I'm concerned. I saw him coming in, saw him going out, and that's that. Like I said, a couple of sports, two more sports things here before we move on to general topics here. You see this guy, Tommy Fleetwood, hole in one at the Masters today. This is not Tower T, okay? This is the Masters, and the guy drains one on the 16th hole. Rory McIlroy, not as fortunate, as he hits a shot and it goes out of bounds and hits his father. His father is standing there watching everything, and he's on the other side of the ropes, and the golf ball just goes and hits the old man right in the back of the leg. Not a pretty picture. When was the Seniors Open thing that they did at Belrive? Is that like 2004, 2006, something like that? I still have the hat somewhere. But, you know, they brought all these senior golfers in. It was a big, big deal for St. Louis. And they did it right, too. They really, really did it well. I mean, it was a big, big deal. And they had a lot of media functions. And one of the things they did is they let all of us media fools play Belrive. And let me just tell you something. I'm not a good golfer. I don't play often enough. I talk to these guys who play golf sometimes 2-3 times a week. They're not much better than I am in some cases. Now, some are, but a lot of them aren't. And so I'm like, okay, I play like maybe a half a dozen times a year, and they're not that much better than I am. But I do remember playing Belle Reve and thinking to myself, holy crap, you tee off on a like a par four or a par five, and you've already hit like five or six shots, and you're only like three quarters of the way to the hole. That's when it really sort of occurs to you, these guys are good. They're playing on a different level. No question about it. I posted that picture of Tom Selleck. Oh, this is maybe 15 years ago. Tom Selleck shows up in St. Louis on a Sunday morning to promote the movie, what was it called, Mr. Baseball or something like that? I think it was about a baseball player, Major League Baseball player, who goes to Japan to play. That's my recollection of this whole thing. So he was doing a city-by-city tour, and he showed up in St. Louis, got a chance to interview him, and I posted the picture on my Facebook page, The Showground with J.C. Corcoran, and a lot of people were like, is he that tall? Or are you that small? It's like, well, I'm 5'9", but he's huge. But also, there's a perspective thing. It was a shot where I was deeper in the field of vision, so I looked even smaller than I was next to him. But he's a big guy. He's a big guy. And by the way, he hit a couple of out on that Sunday morning, and Todd Worrell was pitching to him. And at one point, when he was sort of near the end of, you know, taking a little batting practice for show off, wearing a really nice Cardinals uniform. You see the picture, as I said, on my Facebook page. But he told Todd Worrell near the end of this little batting practice session, he said, I want you to throw the way you really throw in a game. I want to see what it's really like. I want to feel this. I want to know what it really looks like, what it really feels like when a Major League Baseball pitcher is pouring everything into this fastball. Go ahead, throw me a couple. And it was like whiff, 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 which was fine, you know, which was fine. And then Tom Selleck took everybody's house on that reverse mortgage thing. And that was that. And now this.
I'm Rachel Ray. Let's go grab some of that meat.
Let's just try and ease him out of there.
Awesome. Look at that. It's the size of my head. You could barely fit your fingers around it. Size matters. Oh, yeah. I'm ready to belly up to this one. Chew, he's good. He's good to go. Just pick it up with your hand. Ugh. Just grab him. Rub it in your hand and just gently pull backwards like that. You want to hold it at the top just like that and just pull very gently. You just give it a light squeeze. Give it a toss with my fingertips. Give it a little twist just to help it along a bit. Get the juices flowing in there. Grab it nice and firm. Just yank it. There you go. Trust me, it's an inanimate object. It's not going to go anywhere. Get a good handle on it. Give it a good whack. I'm going to moisten that. Drizzle with a little oil. Just coat it all. Get right down to the bottom. Okay, I've got that greased up pretty well there. Greased up and ready to go. Just keep working it. And really put your shoulder into it. Keep your fingers curled under on that other hand. Gosh, I really enjoy this. This is such a fun theme, and it's really cool to do this in your backyard. Something you could do for your boss, or for a special occasion, or for entertaining. For a great date night at home, too. Look at the pretty color that becomes. It's gorgeous, huh? I'm just gonna give it a taste. Mmm. Oh man, that is fantastic. Nice, even strokes. Here's the big finish. And it gets messy in a minute. Stand back now, I don't want to splatter you. I'm finishing it off. Come on, baby, there you go. And oh yeah, all of a sudden, whoo, another one of them facials. Give it a little shimmy shake, get some of that out. Oh, that one had a lot to give us, huh? Look at that. Yummy. It's very salty and very delicious. It comes out of your pores, so of course I always end up smelling like a salami, but it's so worth it. Oh, I just love it. Very proud of that one. That was a good one. Come on, buddy. Oh, well, if he's not coming off of my hand, he's not coming off of my soup, right? Wow. Look at the size of this sausage. Oh, my gosh. Look at the size of that. Don't look at it. Don't peek at it. Don't force it. Just let it happen. It takes a big mouth to get around this. Hey, you don't have to worry about dessert tonight, guys, because guess what? You're it. Sounds huge, but you know what? I think I can handle it. Just pop them off when you get home. Takes 2 seconds. They're so big and beautiful and large, and they're super sweet. Just pick up and down from your shoulder and keep rocking back and forth over it. Look, how good does that look? Looks amazing, doesn't it? Rub it all around, and now we're going to let it hang out nice and tight. Came together fast, huh?
And as usual, a lot of people accused me of surgically editing that audio, and I never did. Those are all things that she said. I just slapped them all together, and that's what you get out of the deal. All right, if you're going to watch TV this weekend, Saturday on Netflix, something called The Stand-In. Drew Barrymore in two roles as a disillusioned Hollywood star and as her lookalike acting stand-in that she convinces to go to court-ordered rehab in her place. Okay, Carey Mulligan hosting Saturday Night Live, and this out-of-control cancel culture is getting even more out of control. Now they want to get rid of My Sharona by the Neck, okay? The lyric, never gonna stop, give it up, such a dirty mind, I always get it up for the touch of the younger kind. All right, younger does not mean necessarily underage. That could be a 40-year-old guy singing about a 25-year-old. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, I would argue that somebody would have to have an extra special dirty mind to automatically assume that somebody is singing about a woman who is underage. That's your problem, not ours. Jailbait by Ted Nugent. Well, that song doesn't even get played, so who cares? Even though the lyrics are, well, I don't care if you're just 13, you look too good to be true. I just know that you're probably clean. There's one little thing I got to do to you, jailbait. You look so good to me, jailbait. Won't you set me free? Ted Nugent. Mixed it with all the other atrocious things that have come out of his mouth in the last 30 years. Turns out he's chasing 13-year-olds. Don't get rid of the song. Get rid of Ted Nugent. And they also want to get rid of Brown Sugar. Gold Coast slave ship bound for the cotton fields sold in a market down in New Orleans. Scarred old slaver knows he's doing right here and whip the women just around midnight. Brown Sugar, how come you taste so good? Okay, there's this thing called history. Things that actually took place. Things that really happened. But this cancel culture wants to get rid of history. There's a big difference between, you know, having statues of Robert E. Lee that clearly honor him. The big difference between that and actually writing a song about things that really occurred. But nobody's making sense anymore. Nobody's listening to one another. Nobody cares anymore. And Sunday is National Pet Day. Most popular pet in the U.S. is a dog. 45% of people who own a pet have a dog. Cats are second at about 30%. The rest of the top 10, fish, birds, hamsters, gerbils, horses, snakes, guinea pigs, lizards, and tarantulas, about 1% of the population. 10% of Americans say their pet is their best friend. That's sad. 11% of people say they specifically hang out with their pets, and 10% have conversations with their pets. Let me know if the pet answers. There's a big difference between talking to your pet and having a conversation. Come on. You know, I talk to my pet. That's not a conversation. Oh, by the way, everybody wants to know what happened with the radio station, the last radio station. We'll get to that next week, I promise, okay? This is a lot to tell you, a lot to explain. We'll do that next week. Interesting little note off of social media from a woman who said, I'm going to my first hockey game and I don't really know anything about hockey. Can somebody give me a crash course on hockey? And I said, sure. First of all, know which team is which. All right. Have somebody explain icing to you. Have somebody explain offside to you. Walk around the concourse between periods. It's a lot better than just sitting around watching the Zamboni. Next, have somebody explain what a Zamboni is. Don't ask how thick the ice is. That's a rookie mistake. By the way, the ice is a little less than an inch. Everybody thinks it's like a foot of ice, and it's not. It's less than an inch, and it has to do with the refrigeration system and everything like that. Don't order the chicken strips from the concession stand. They're nasty. And, of course, let's go Blues. Learn that. Learn it. Know it. Live it. I'm not going to sit here and give you a speech on COVID other than to say you can look at the numbers and they're going back up in a lot of places. And before, we can't reach herd immunity if you got, you know, half of the Republican Party saying I'm not going to get the shot. And if people are going to act like the pandemic is already over. I want it to be over as much as anybody else. But you can't go walking around like it is over because it's not. And they say single people are calling this summer, this one coming up, slutty summer or the Roaring 20s, not the Roaring 20s, because they're ready to get out there with everybody who's been vaccinated and just start
humping like crazy. One woman who runs an Instagram dating account says, quote, "Everybody's getting vaccinated. Everybody's horny. Everybody's sick of virtual dating. This summer is about having lots of sex." Is this a great country or what? Oh, and by the way, you know that Mars rover, that one that just landed up there a couple of weeks ago, that helicopter they got. And by the way, is it a drone or is it a helicopter? And what would really be the difference? They're calling it a helicopter, but it sounds to me like a drone. And they got to be careful because the atmosphere is only 1/10 the density of Earth. And also it gets down to about 80 below at night. And the thing will freeze up. So they got to be careful what they do. But they think that maybe the first flight is going to happen on Sunday. So we could end up getting some pretty dramatic pictures and video and stuff like that. I like stories like that. And by now you've probably heard that Prince Philip died at age 99. This guy has looked 99 for the last 30 years. He looks like a cadaver with a scepter. And I'll live to be 100. Never understand America's obsession with the royal family. It makes no sense to me. I don't get it. Never got the princess or Lady Di thing. Meghan Markle's cute, but that's about it. She's cute. So what? Personally, I'd rather see Channel 4's Brooke Grimsley do the sports, but that's just me. All right, podcast number 2 in the can. Now, again, just to reiterate, we'll be here every weekday morning starting at 7 a.m., half hour every weekday. We're going to be introducing you to some of our sponsors who are making the podcast possible. That's going to be coming up in a couple of days. And the best thing you can do to help me out is to not send me a note, although that's very nice. I got lots of notes yesterday on the home opener show. But the best thing you can do to help me out is not shower me with accolades. The best thing you can do to help me is to tell everybody that you know that we are back doing this show, doing this podcast every day. Let them know about jcontheline.com. Tell them not to forget the jcontheline.com. We're going to try to jack this thing up, get as many people listening as possible. That's the business at hand at this moment. So tell everybody you know. Have a great weekend. It's good to have baseball back, huh? And we'll talk to you again on Monday.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.